Once there was an alchemist who sought among the mysteries of nature and of science to find the elixir of life and the philosopher's stone. In order that his labors might not be disturbed, this mystic chemist withdrew from the world of men to a cave far in the side of a hill, and there he built a laboratory and brought ancient and rare books for his library. He equipped it with all the apparatus of the chemist, with burners and flasks and many strange and weird instruments. Here, for many years, he labored with chemicals, herbs, and simples, seeking to find the secret of perpetual youth, and in his own narrow yet earnest way, to discover the lost blessing of mankind, the panacea, the balm of Gilead, promised by the sacred writings of old. For over 40 years, he plied his task in the laboratory, pulverizing herbs and metals, seeking from the depths of the earth to the furthermost corners of the sky for the answer to his great problem. Many amazing and masterly discoveries were filed away in his diary. Many learned secrets he gleaned from his experiments. Many surprising truths from his studies. But the master secret of alchemy, the crowning achievement, continued to elude him. With all his studies and his labors, he was forced to admit that he had not found the answer to the mystery of mysteries. One day, as he sat in his laboratory, dejected and disconsolate, there flashed across his mind an entirely new thought. Could it be that he was not searching where the light was? Could it be that these ancient writers, these honored scientists, had themselves failed? And that only a blind alley was disclosed to those who studied their works? It was a thought that almost overwhelmed his heart. He sat dazed in his chair. His head fell upon his arms, which rested on the table, and a heart long pent up gave way to sorrow. At any rate, I have failed, he mused. Either those who wrote knew not the secret, or else I have not read aright the meaning of their words. The things I seek I cannot find. The truths that I would know elude me like the will-o'-the-wisp. The power of those masters in whose footsteps I would tread and whose truths I would penetrate have not been revealed to me, either by the words of my brothers or by my own searching. Then another thought dawned upon his soul. He laid aside his books, closed the numberless closets with their vials and retorts, and sitting down again in his great chair, bowed his head in prayer, and asked like a child the way that he should tread. He called upon the names of the great ones who had gone before. He asked that the mystic alchemists of old should guide his footsteps, that he might learn the truths that would serve his fellow men. Suddenly, as he sat there, a voice spoke to him. Brother, what do you seek? The old alchemist started in amazement and turned in his chair, for he knew of none who could have guessed the secret of that hidden cave, or who could have entered so silently that his reveries had not been disturbed. A tall, slender man with dark eyes and broad, noble forehead stood behind him, draped from head to foot in a mysterious cape of indigo. The stranger parted the cloak, and his long, slim hands drew back its folds. Who are you? Demanded the alchemist in surprise. Who thus comes to break my solitude? I am that I am, answered the stranger. Know you not that words mean nothing, that names are but terms for forms? But what I am and what I mean to you is all important. You may call me the Brother of the Blue Cape. You do not know me, but I know you. For many years you have labored in this cave, seeking the true answer to the riddle of life and the solution of the mystery of being. Many times I have assisted you, but you could not know this, for until you called me, I could not come. You have sought in all the world of natural things, with book and chemical, with telescope, crucible, and retort. Though you have studied long, you have not learned the mysteries of the alchemist. You have sought to glean from the sages of old their sacred truths, but you have failed in all your attempts. For while you have learned many things, you know little more of the deeper secrets than when you started. There are those in this world, however, in whose souls the alchemist lives eternal, and who carry within the locket of their own hearts the secret of the lost panacea, in whose innermost being still flows the elixir of life, and who know the secret of the furnace in which the philosopher's stone is made. Lay aside your books and your alembics for a moment and learn of the path that leads to the light. The old alchemist leaned back in his chair, his eyes fixed on the face of the intruder. The brother of the blue cape crossed and, sitting down beside him, spoke in soft, musical tones which comforted the heart of the lonely seeker and illumined him with the light he had looked for so long. "Know you, brother," said the mystic, "that all the secrets of alchemy are concealed within the folds of this cape of blue. It is not merely a stone that you seek, nor a liquid to fill your vials, but the true quest of the alchemist is for the indigo cape. Behold how the masters gather under the folds of their garments and under the protection of their cloaks the hearts of men. Know you that alchemy is that process in man which shapes this cape, and only those who wear this mystic raiment may claim to know the formulae of alchemy. All the powers of the universe wear these wondrous cloaks of many colors, for indigo is made of all the tones. For the blue of the sky is but a vast cloak which he winds lovingly about creation. It is this cloak which each must weave as a living vesture that brings with it completion, the realization of truth. All the masters wear capes. Their very lives are cloaks, for their hearts are so great that they seek to enfold all living things within the glory of their love. These capes are the garments of protection. They are indeed the cloaks of wisdom, more precious than any earthly garment. But these capes are broad. They have many folds. Those who seek the truth must learn that the stone of the philosopher is always concealed somewhere within the blue cloak of initiation. Each truth that is woven into the living garment of the soul brings with it a great advancement, a more complete revelation of spiritual consciousness. There are thousands laboring with mankind who are not of mankind, who, like the spirits of Venus and of Jupiter, are bound to the earth by the needs of its children. There are many active here who long for freedom to do greater things. Noble souls from worlds unknown are chained to earth by the ignorance of man. The eldest of the brothers are forced continually to perform the labors that man should do. The masters must come from their cosmic tasks to adjust the difficulties of the ignorant. They must gather the wayward souls under the protective folds of their vast mantles. These cloaks are woven of the life of truth, of knowledge, and of power. Each time a soul is found in the world of men, who will take upon itself the sorrows of the world, who labors that others may have more light, who learns the things worthwhile and becomes strong enough to carry the burdens of humanity, when such an one is found, the master takes off his own mantle and places it upon the shoulders of his disciple. The master is then free to advance to greater works to don a more ample and more burdensome garment. In the days that are to come, the children of earth must bear the responsibilities beneath which now the gods are bowed. The powers of light are searching for those who will wear their garments, whose souls are great enough to be the capes of blue. The old alchemist's eyes were closed, and he heard the words as in a dream. But suddenly a great flood of light descended into his being. He saw the things so long hidden. The truth so long concealed streamed into his aspiring soul. "I have found it," he cried. "I have found the Philosopher's Stone. I see its light radiating from the depth of my own soul. I have found the elixir of life as it pours upon me from the rivers of living water. I feel the balm of Gilead as drop by drop it falls from my wounded heart. I see. I see." "You have seen well," answered the mystic, as he sat enfolded in his mantle. "Your quest is over, brother. You have found those things for which you sought. Your years of labor have their reward. Your diligence has not been in vain. Now what will you do with it? How will you use the precious secrets which have been disclosed to you?" The old alchemist rose to his feet, his eyes alight with a strange glow which revealed the glory of the light within. His tottering footsteps grew stronger, as though indeed he had found the fountain of eternal youth. His shaking hands grew steadier, while he straightened himself and pointed toward the villages outside the cave. "I'm going back again," he cried. "All these years I have hidden myself away in this cave under the hill. But now I see that my place is in the world. I'm going back to tell all the truth that you have unveiled to me. I will go out to live the Philosopher's Stone. Of the elixir of life and the balm of Gilead I will give to all mankind, rich and poor, young and old, and of whatever caste, whatever creed. They shall see the light that I have found. They shall also know how I found it. The gods have been gracious and have given me the treasure I sought. And now I dedicate these treasures to the service of men." The stranger of the blue cape smiled, and taking the old man by the shoulder, led him back to the chair, saying, "Sit down and rest. You have found the object of your quest, and your soul is filled with great compassion. You shall indeed serve your brother men to the glory of your God and the liberation of the masters." Slowly the old man's head sank upon his breast. His heart beating fast with the glory of his great discovery was quieted by the hand of the master. The mystic stood over him while the old alchemist slept as peacefully as a child. "Rest, brother," whispered the mystic, "for your quest has been long and the search intense. Rest, for before you are labors eternal. You are now coming to the day when for you rest shall be no more. Sleep, for the eyes now closed will be open for ages. Be happy now." The mystic sank on his knees and, clasping his hands, raised his eyes to heaven, praying. The master rose and, taking off his mantle of indigo, laid it over the shoulders of the sleeping alchemist. "Here, brother, is the garment that I have worn. But a short time ago, I gathered you in its folds. Now I give it to you with all its joys, with all its sorrows. Under its folds, gather you the souls of men. In the name of the Great One, whose blue cape envelops creation." The mystic then walked slowly from the cave, his face calm with peace and divine compassion. He raised his eyes once more to the light streaming from the heavens. From somewhere, two hands reached down, and a great cloak of blue fell upon the mystic's shoulders. far more voluminous, far more cumbersome than the other. He staggered under the weight of its massive folds, but with a strength divine he rose, and spreading wide the folds which seemed to carry within them the whole creation, he cried out with a joyous voice. With this great cape protecting and concealing thousands of living creatures, the mystic floated silently over the world, gathering under the folds of his garments the souls of men. The alchemist had taken the lesser task and freed the master for a greater. When the old alchemist awoke, he could discern no garment of blue, but his soul, wakened by its vision, had become invested in the indigo cape of compassion, which forever unfolds the sorrows of the world.